worship leaflet today is our scripture for this morning. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and I have often told you of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Got a report today from a very authoritative source that Craig's sister and father, where's Craig? Hawes? Oh, he's in the kitchen. Oh, yes. Counters, dear ones. We have probably 8 people in the kitchen, so I'd count them. They're here. So his sister is much better out of the hospital, and Craig's dad is much better out of the hospital also. And as we said, services for Reggie Stotts are pending at this time. We'll know more, I'm sure, in another day or two. For so much of my life, I have struggled with issues of calories, overweight, overeating. I don't think I've ever been at a point when that was not a problem for me. When I was 4, my parents special ordered me a tricycle built for 2. And yes, I was always familiar with the boys' Husky department at Sears and JCPenney. Remember how those dear sales associates would stick their thumbs in the waistline of my jeans and, oh, give me a break. My lifelong struggle with food makes verse 19 especially sobering to me. The apostle says, their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Now that verse does, yes, sort of get to me, but when I studied and researched that passage a little bit more, it made sense that what Paul is talking about here is a lifestyle, a life pursuit of indulging the appetites. He has in mind people who live only for today in its pleasures with no thought of eternity. He's describing the cult of instant gratification, whether it be food, ego, pleasure, power, entertainment. Paul's talking about the ones who have their eyes on short-term profits rather than on long-term investments. But you know what? That describes me. To some extent, at least. And I wonder maybe if it might describe everybody in this building to some extent or another today. True, isn't it? Many of us are part of the number who, some days just prefer the easy road, the good life, when our egos are stroked, our nests are feathered, our appetites, whims, and druthers are all indulged. We get to believing that hasty shortcuts will somehow be better than long-term wisdom. Brian Connor used to say that the Christian life is a long-term walk with Christ toward a glorious destination. A long-term walk with Christ toward a glorious destination. A researcher for a book company, a publishing house, was interviewing people, asking them what kinds of books they like to read. And the answers that people gave included the Bible and the classics such as Shakespeare and the great English poets. History, literature, encyclopedias all were high on everybody's lists. And in return for their cooperation, as a way of saying thank you, the researcher gave the people their choice of a free book from a list okayed by that company. And the most popular choice of this supposedly high-minded group was Murder of a Burlesque Queen. Heard an extra snicker from over there. Now tell me I'm wrong. I hope I am, but as we look at our culture in 2019, the things our society values, it seems that people treasure comfort, money, status, self, and stuff a lot more than service and self-discipline and faith and hope and love. There are two kinds of people, Paul says in our passage, those who have their eyes fixed on this world and its pleasures, and those who have their eye fixed on heaven and its wonders. In contrast to those whose God is the belly, he writes, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord. So much a matter of focus, of basic orientation, how we set and keep our sights. Gazing at God's truth and amazing grace, or are we too much gawking at the gaudiness of this world? And sure, it's true, some days I'd rather have both. Hard to make a choice. Every day, often hour by hour, though, we have to set our sights, take a deep breath, pray a little prayer, and decide. Did you ever try to straddle a fence for very long? I mean, literally, physically. Have you ever tried to do that? My older brother used to entice me to do things like that. One time we were in Minnesota, central Minnesota, visiting some cousins, and they had an electric fence. My brother somehow convinced me to lay my hand on that electric fence. And I suppose if we meet in heaven someday, I'll forgive him. But you know, sitting on the fence definitely gets uncomfortable. We're not made for that. God created us with the capacity to decide on one side or the other. The great Dr. Seuss, Theodore Seuss Geisel, he wrote just a little verse about that very thing. He said, "Did you hear of the Zork who stood at the fork of the road? He had to decide on fork one or fork two. But he stood there and stood there, not knowing what to do. Fork one might be too hot, but fork two too cold. So he stood there and stood there. He couldn't be bold. Aha, the Zork said, I know what I'll dare. I don't have just one foot, I have a pair, so I'll go both ways at once. Here goes, here's my chance. So the Zork hopped on both forks and then tore his pants." Well, let's just look at a couple of questions that might serve as a self-test, a miniature quiz to help us decide where we stand in this business concerning, as believers, in this business concerning priorities. First, are we able to enjoy the simple blessings of life? Or do we have to surround ourselves with toys? Have you heard the basic motto of marketing and advertising? Now, I want to say right away, if you or your loved ones are involved in advertising and marketing, that's great. America literally would not run without advertising and marketing, so I'm not putting that down. But we just need to be a little extra wise in the Lord about such things. The fundamental motto of advertising is better, more, bigger, newer, faster, prettier. Better, more, bigger, newer, faster, prettier. If we all just fall for that idea, just buy into that notion again and again, that our lives are inadequate and incomplete unless we're grabbing at better, more, bigger, newer, faster, prettier. But you know as well as I do, there's no end to that then, really. It never stops. It just cycles and continues. In fact, it would sort of like to be a big part of our lives. Constantly grabbing, that is, just having to have better, more, bigger, newer, faster, prettier. Ryan and his brother Richard were complete opposites. Richard was a very highly successful businessman, a multimillionaire before the age of 30, and he had to work very, very hard to get to that point, and he did. On the other hand, Ryan took seasonal jobs at dude ranches and parks and resorts. He was good with people, and he was good with horses. With an easy smile, he could handle just about any job the ranchers asked him to do. But Richard was always concerned about his brother's well-being, and if truth be known, he was often just a little bit irritated at Ryan about his casual lifestyle. So Richard kept trying to entice his brother and win him over to come and work for him. And over the cell phone, the wealthy big brother would send the younger one photos of his latest purchase, a big, beautiful luxury car with the caption, "My car." Then came the picture of his private aircraft, silvery and sleek, and the caption, "My Lear Jet." Richard bought a mansion, an impressive mountain location in Colorado, and via the phone, he sent Ryan a photo of it titled, "My House." The photo campaign ended, however, when Ryan sent to Richard a breathtaking view of Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park, one of God's special spots of splendidness. And Ryan captured that picture, "My backyard." Are we able to enjoy more of the simple pleasures, the daily blessings, the creativity and artistry of the Lord? And try to let go of some of that better, newer, bigger, faster, prettier, whatever I said. And here's the second question for this morning for all of us, preachers as well. Are we making it our daily aim, empowered by God's grace, to keep Christ our main focus in life? Now, yes, that takes some courage. It takes going against the grain of this world quite often. And yes, it requires commitment, but it is a matter of focus. Like the little bumper sticker used to say, if Jesus is the way, why waste our time following some other way? Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, stand firm in the Lord. That's verses 3:20 and from chapter 4, verse 1. In the state of Nevada, an 8-year-old little boy accidentally fell into an abandoned mine shaft. And his friend who was with him ran to get help, and rescue workers moved in by the score. There were firefighters, police officers, sheriff's deputies, emergency medical technicians, mining engineers. Heavy earth-moving machinery was hauled in from the city, and tons of dirt were eventually dug away. And finally, after 2 days and two nights of praying, planning, and digging, the rescue operation was, thank heaven, complete. The little boy was successfully rescued and appeared to be in pretty good shape. Later, his mother said about his condition, there were no real injuries, just some scrapes and scratches on a very hungry, very thirsty, very grimy little boy. After a night in the local hospital, he was released in excellent shape. But after another few days, the child persuaded his father to take him back, please, take him back up by that mine, up to the hills where he had his accident. The little guy was shocked, absolutely in awe. He stared at that mountain of earth that had been moved by that huge machinery, and he looked up at his father and said, Dad, do you think that they moved all that dirt for me? And his father gave him a big warm hug and said through some tears, Yes, son, they did all that and even more to save you. Dear friends, that is what Jesus Christ and his cross and resurrection are all about. The Son of God giving his priceless life, his magnificent life for you and me and for love of us. He literally poured himself out completely on a terrible cross for our forgiveness and new life. God, through Christ, did all that for me, for you, for any who would set their faith in him. So, strengthened by his grace, we are making it our daily aim to give Jesus first place, our main focus, every day. Amen.